Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until Bulls basketball. We will have the Bulls versus the Hornets tonight, starting at 6:45. We got other stuff until then, including a conversation with Brent Sopel. I'm excited to see Soaps. I haven't seen him in a little bit. We're going to talk about a couple things, talk a little hockey with him, talk about dyslexia awareness. Like we did, it's so funny because what's really strange about this is the last time I had Soaps on the show was at Dirty Nelly's. And the next Miller Lite Top Draft show on Tuesday night is at Dirty Nelly's. Good pizza there. It'll give me a chance to go to Spunky Dunkers, the donut place out there, which is phenomenal. But I was just going, oh, how weird is that? That Soaps is going to be here another night when I'm getting close to being at Dirty Nelly's again. So that's cool. We'll do that around 6:20-ish or so. I have a little bit of time to take some phone calls. And there's a subject that I touched on yesterday via Twitter that we didn't get a chance to talk about last night because Lance Briggs was on the show and Anthony Herron was on the show and we did the Mitch Albom interview last night. By the way, for those of you who reached out that you liked and enjoyed the Mitch Albom interview, I really appreciate it, and I'm glad, and if you read his books, but I thought the interview was really good, and I'm not talking about from my standpoint, I'm talking about from the guest standpoint, so I enjoyed it, and I hope that you did too. But here's what I wanted to talk to you about. This is the topic that I wanted to get into. How should we judge the Bears? And here's what I mean. Going into the season, the way I was looking at the Bears was they're a rebuilding team with a new coach. Now, some of that changed for me when they traded for and then signed Khalil Mack. Where I'm like, well, this feels like a move of a team that has aspirations higher than we're just going to be a team that gets knocked around and trying to get things right. It felt like they're a team that is trying to be a playoff team. Now, I'm not sure that that's an entirely fair assessment of the Bears. Maybe they're fence riding, that they are a rebuilding team, but they couldn't pass up the opportunity to get Khalil Mack. So, yes, from the outside, it looks like that they've sped their timeline up, but in truth, they really haven't. So I offered a binary choice yesterday on Twitter, but I also allow for people to make comments about it. But what I'd love to know is what you think, how you personally think of them now. And I don't want you to think about anything beyond the 2018 season. Because I would imagine that expectations in the 2019 season are going to be sky high. I'd just like to know right now, how do you view the Bears? Do you view them as a playoff contender? Do you view them as a rebuilding team? Is there some wiggle room for you? Like, yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be nice if they made the playoffs, but I'm not really expecting them to make the playoffs. That's where I thought that we kind of start the show and talk about. If you want to text in, you can do that as well at 670-11. And I did play ball, and some people are texting in. The Bulls invited a bunch of us to come play ball. We got a chance to play ball with Michael Reinsdorf. It was dope. Like, we got to play at the Advocate Center. So they were still, a couple guys were still doing like shoot-arounds, just doing some shoot-around stuff. And it was cool to kind of be on the floor with them for a while and in the play. This text says, I don't know anything about football. Okay, well, you can go listen to something else. I'd be willing to put my knowledge of the game up against yours. I really, truly would. Don't mean to have to pull the club out on you, but you asked for it. Romeoville and Sean. Hey, Sean, you're on the score.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
I'm doing good. I before the season started, I thought, you know, this year would be, you know, like you said, a rebuilding year. I thought my focus was just going to be on the development of our new quarterback. But then the narrative changed, obviously, when they went out and got Khalil Mack, and so now I see them as an ascending team that I think for the next 3 or 4 years should be in a window where they can at least contend for the playoffs every year and hopefully do better. But now I see them as a team in a window who can contend. And so that's kind of where I am. I also, really quick, I just hope that, and this is maybe me being a pessimist, I hope the Khalil Mack move wasn't Ryan Pace maybe realizing he was wrong about Trubisky.
I don't see it that way. I felt like it was just, you know, Sean, I felt like it was just one of those things where you try to take care of the two most important positions, quarterback and the right. person who chases the quarterback. And right. with the fire sale that the Raiders were having, it gave them a chance to upgrade their pass rush immediately. So I don't right. know if I looked at it the same way that you did, where it was him saying, well, right. maybe Trubisky isn't it.
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's right. I mean, I said I hope that's not it. I'm not sure that's it. I said I hope that's not it. But yeah, I see them as an ascending team that should probably be in a window where they can contend for the next 5-6 years.
All right, Sean. I appreciate you checking in on that. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero Park. Smarter out to Wakanda and Brett. Hey, Brett, Wakanda forever. You're on the score.
I hear you, Lawrence. Best football talk on the show, man. I appreciate it.
What's on your mind?
So I'm thinking we got the Jets coming to town. We got Buffalo at Buffalo after that. And I know it's any given Sunday, especially for a mediocre Bears team. We don't know who they are. But if Khalil Mack's really hurt, do we consider just letting this guy rest 1, maybe 2 weeks and get ready for this playoff push that we have after that? We could be potentially 5-3 going into this division run that we have and end of the season playoff run.
What do you think?
I think I sit him at, if he's really hurt, I'm thinking you sit him at a home game against Sam Darnold for sure. I mean, if the guy's hurt, we don't know how hurt he is. I mean, we were dropping him back in coverage last week against the Patriots, which makes you think maybe he's not that hurt.
Well, he didn't practice today, so that's not good. I understand the idea that everyone who wants to get Khalil Mack well, I'm with you 100%, that it clearly makes sense from a health standpoint to not have him rush the passer, not have him on the field, to take care of that ankle, and then we'll see you in a week. In another week. So you have 2 weeks off of that foot. But this is where I go back to the idea of expectation. If you think that the Bears are a playoff team, every win counts. And right now, the Bears defense isn't playing well. What's your replacement? Is the replacement Aaron Lynch? Is Aaron Lynch at 100% or as close to 100% as players can be 6 weeks into a season? Is that better than 70% or 65% or 55% of Khalil Mack? I don't have the answer. I just wanted you to think about it for a little bit. I'm not sure. If I were coach, I would be tempted to rest my best player and make sure he's as close to being effective as we can possibly get him because he's so necessary. The other thing is, I want to be fair to Vic Fangio, and I'd love to know if the strategy for last week's game was a product of Khalil Mack's ankle, or if they were going into that game saying, we're not gonna blitz Tom Brady. We're going to drop guys in coverage. We're going to try to make it as confusing as possible for him and tackle guys. Granted, they didn't tackle well. It wasn't as bad as the game against Miami, but they didn't tackle well overall. But I completely understand everyone who wants to, and we'd all take turns, right? We'd all take turns like watching Khalil. Like if the Bears needed to go do something and we needed to watch Khalil and make sure that he changes over the ice and stem, we'd all be like, we got it. Y'all just go ahead and do whatever you need to do. How you doing, big fella? Everything okay? Can we get you some magazines? Would you like to hear a podcast? What show would you like to watch on the TV while we do some rehab on this ankle? Whatever you need. Can I get you a smoothie? That's what we need to figure out. Like, how far would you be willing to go to get Khalil Mack healthy? Would you take off work? If the Bears are like, look, man, we got to have someone sit with Khalil while we're practicing. Would you take off work? 100 Bears fans just raise their hand like, yep, I sure would.
I think underselling is 100. It's got to be more than like, just 100.
I'm taking off and I'm going up to Hallis Hall. I'm going up to 1920 Hallis Drive or football drive. And I'm going to go take care of Khalil Mack. Get healthy, Khalil! Jason's in Milwaukee. Hey, Jason, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
My expectations coming into the season were if things went bad, I still expected a 7-win season. And if things went perfect, I thought 9-7, 10-6, make the wild card, make a run at it at least. So my expectations really just haven't changed too much, even with the addition of Khalil Mack. And I do think they should rest him. He needs to be 100%. He's just not effective out there, or at least just don't have him practice all week and then just bring him in on long yardage, third downs, and see what he can do.
Make him a situational pass rusher is what you're suggesting. That's not a terrible idea. That's not terrible. You could do that. You make it happen. You want to watch the World Series last night? Here's my thing. So I did the show last night at Edison Park Inn, the EPI. I was out there. I listened to a little bit of Julie on the way home. I got home. My wife had been at a work party. She was like, I'll be home in a few minutes. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, the World Series is still on. And that's bad. That's bad for baseball. I know that if you live in L.A. or in Boston, it doesn't matter because you'll stay up. Just like with the Cubs a couple years ago. That game could have gone till 5 in the morning. You didn't care. You were going to watch it. It was just kind of like a reminder. It's one of the reasons why I hate the Red Sox. Because they played them long-ass games. And last night was another example. Just like, oh, come on, baseball. All right, there's my baseball aside. Out to Des Moines and Tony. Hey, Tony, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on, Lawrence? How's it going?
Things are good. What's up, Tony?
Oh, man, you know, I was looking at the Bears from a perspective. I think the offense is they're really trying to figure out their players and, you know, their roster because from my perspective, I'm looking at it like it's obvious to me that they probably got, like, the best or one of the best running games in the NFL with Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, and then
– Yeah, well, Tony, the stats don't back that up right now.
Well, they're not doing it. I mean, they're not utilizing it. I mean, I'm looking at Trubisky like, man, he's looking like the white Michael Vick out there. But they're, you know, forcing it downfield as far as running, you know, more. I mean, if the balance, if they could establish the run, then maybe they could get some of those open passes.
Maybe. You know, I'm curious to see how they're going to address the issues with the run game. And again, called runs last week, 19 attempts for 53 yards. Not the improvising that Mitch was doing. Mike Kirby, what's better, Mitch Tebow or Tim Trubisky?
Mitch Tebow.
You like Mitch Tebow?
Yeah.
Kirby, you agree with that? Mitch Tebow,
yeah, he agrees,
or Tim Trubisky. Because Tim Trubisky's got the alliteration to it. All right, we'll throw that out for the people. Which one do you like better?
But you won't know, like, Tim Trubisky, you don't know exactly what Tim you're talking about. Oh, when you say, when you throw out the Tebow, it's like, we know who Tebow is.
You're right. Mike, you're 100% right on that. Mitch Tebow or Tim Trubisky? You're right, because Tim Trubisky sounds like a guy that works at your accountant's office. And yeah, we're going to get you in here. We're going to talk about your 1099s. Tim Trubisky's going to come in here, and he's gonna have some things to say about how you can get your tax payment down a little bit. Like, oh, great. Hi, I'm Tim Trubisky. I'm your accountant. Hey, Tim, it's really nice to meet you. You're right. Mitch Tebow probably sounds better. We're going to take a break. When we come back, an old buddy has stopped by. He is here, and he has something important to say that you might be interested to hear. Brent Sopel will talk with us next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sopel scores! Off the faceoff, Brent Sopel has blasted one that has tied the game.
That highlight courtesy of Versus.
Remember that?
I do. I do remember that. And now inside of NBC Sports Net.
Wasn't it the Outdoor Network?
Yes, the Outdoor Life Network.
Yeah, that's right. There it is.
And then they used to have all the bike races and stuff and the fishing shows.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, now the Blackhawks are on. It's like, wait, what? What just happened? The voice that you hear, the goal that was scored by a good friend of the show, one of my favorite guys I've ever worked with, Brent Sopel, who is here in the building here with me. I know that we have a lot of serious things that we need to get into, and we will. But I just wanted to ask you, as someone who played with Jonathan Toews, how good is it to see, like, Jonathan Toews show back up this year?
Obviously, nobody understands the pressure that Jonathan Toews, he wears this city on his shoulders. So when he struggled last year and then everybody was all over media, social media, he took that personally. And the game's changed a lot. But the one thing I have to remind everybody is that we won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. The miles on Jonathan Toews is 10 times that much more. They played 2010, they played the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Now 14, they went to Sochi. You know, all these playoff runs. You know, I think he played his 800th game last night. But to his body, I'd probably say that's 1,200 to 1,300 games. So you got to give him a break. The game's changed. He had to change his training a little bit, and it's obviously great to see him, you know, succeeding and doing what he's doing right now.
What about seeing Crow back on the ice?
You know what? If it wasn't for Crow for so many years, actually, we saw about, you know, we witnessed what it would be like without him last year. But to see him come back and play the way he is, he was a Vezina Trophy winner hands down before he got hurt last year. So good man, great to have fun in the net. He's not your typical goalie. He likes to have fun. He's not completely cuckoo in the head like most goalies, but it's awesome to see him out there.
It's Dyslexia Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And you've talked about this because you've been diagnosed. You now know what this is, and you have the Brent Sopel Foundation, which I highly recommend people go and check out, BrentSopelFoundation.org. If you know someone who might need to get tested or someone who is dealing with dyslexia, it's a great resource for you. So your story, we talked a little bit about it last year when we were out together at Dirty Nelly's. But what you said during the break about how you didn't understand net versus gross income and how you had to learn it. Walk the listener through that.
Yeah, you know, so I was diagnosed when I think I was about 35 years old that I have dyslexia. You know, I struggled all through school. I hated every second of it. You know, I was reading at a grade 4 level going into high school as a freshman. And never could figure out why. Was always labeled as lazy. You know, you're just an athlete. You're dumb here. I'll just pass you through. No big deal. But 35, find out what it is. And I'm a visual, you know, I need to see things. Thank goodness that, you know, we had video or, you know, on the board, whiteboard, we're drawing plays out because as you talked about, I didn't know what gross and net money was till I was 40 years old. And I had to see a video of Richard Branson talking about it. He drew a net and drew some fish in there. And he said, you pick up your net and you walk away. That's your net money. I had to see that. I could never understand net money and gross money by somebody telling me. And that's what dyslexia is. You know, if these kids, we can diagnose them at a young age, they're smart. There's 50% of the employees at NASA are dyslexic. That's what they look for.
Really?
Yeah. We kind of see in a 3D image. You know, for example, you know, your wife comes and says, "Hey, Lawrence, what do you see in this picture?" So the love of my life, who's pretty much saved my life in the last couple of years, you know, dug me out a lot of holes. She'll come up to me, "What do you see?" Her and I have never seen the same thing in a picture.
What are you seeing?
You know, it could be, you know, there might be four or five pictures. There might be a lion. You know, we see in a 3D image. We see differently. And so it's an amazing gift if you can catch it at a young age. Like I said, you know, NASA sees it, and that's why you have a lot of artists, architects. You know, a lot of that's because that's the side of the brain that we use a lot more. The other side is rewired the wrong way. But 20% of the population has dyslexia.
One in five.
One in five. So you got cancer that is one in two. Guess what? Dyslexia is next at one in five. Everybody talks about autism. I think that's one in 60 or one in 65. So, you know, you go in the classroom, there's usually about 25 or 30 kids. Guess what? There's five, six, seven, eight of those kids that are struggling personally inside because they don't know how to read.
What was the worst part for you dealing with this and not knowing it?
Just couldn't figure it out, you know. I remember in high school that 2 weeks into freshman year, the English teacher said, "How about Brent, you go in front of the class and read." It still scars me today. You know, the words that I was reading weren't on the page. So the whole class is laughing, you know, just completely making fun of me. And I walked out of class, and like I said, it scars me today. And the reason, you know, I've decided to talk a lot more, I'm not the only one. I know that. And there's millions. I never want another kid to feel the way, you know, I did back then, or the way, you know, I still do today because of it.
How hard is it for you now? Now that you've been diagnosed and you're trying to work through some of this stuff, what's the most difficult part now?
You know, if you catch it at a young age, you can go back, and there's something called the Wilson Reading Program, where you basically almost start the alphabet all over. You kind of retrain your brain how to read. You know what? It's an amazing program. People have major successes for it. And that's what my foundation does is, you know, picks these kids and tutors them. But I'm 40. I'm not going to go back and, you know, sit and relearn the alphabet because I can only speak Canadian. You know, this American thing, you know, it's just getting in the way all the time. But, you know, for me, it's writing emails. You know, if I got to write an email, you know, I spend half the time talking to Siri, but she's racist. She never listens to me anyways. I got to type it in and really find out, did I spell it right? So to write an average email takes me 15, 20 minutes because it may auto-correct it, but to me, it looks wrong. Now, you're talking about business world, you know, you spell something wrong, you're like, all right, we'll just delete that. So it's, you know, it's a struggle. It takes a long time. Like I said, the love of my life does a lot of emailing for me to, you know, to help me along here to get me, you know, moving in the right track and trying to figure this life thing out.
So what are you going to get done this month? Did I hear you're going to go back to Canada?
Yeah, I'm going to go up to God's country for a few days. And, you know, I'm just going to talk about it a lot more. You know, we just said numbers that are one in five. You know, we figure about half the prisoners in the world have dyslexia. Now, just imagine if we got to 25% of them, what they could do to this world. They could be working at Starbucks. They could be working anywhere, contributing to, you know, to society at any, you know, any single point in time, anywhere. You know, there isn't a lot of people that go out and talk about it, because whenever I say dyslexia, they're like, and I say one in five, they're like, hang on a second, what? So, you know, I'm just trying to raise awareness a lot more. You know, my foundation, you know, trying to raise money. I got a raffle on there. One ticket's $50. Three tickets is $125. First prize, grand prize, is four tickets to the Winter Classic game.
Nice.
A limo ride there and back. Two nights hotel stay at the Thompson Hotel. And a signed jersey from each team.
Okay.
So, not bad, right?
That's pretty good.
And then second prize is two tickets to the game and signed jersey from each team. And all the money is going to go to raising awareness and grabbing kids that won't have the opportunity to get this Wilson Reading Program. You know, the foundation had two students that went through that this summer, completely changed their life. Talking to them, you know, for an example, I had one of the girls, she came, got tutored. When I was going to meet her for the first time, she was bawling coming over. And you know why? Because she was afraid she was going to have to read to me. Wow. Now, you know that feeling? I know that feeling. That's a self-esteem that she has none. And, you know, for an example, I use it as a gas tank. You know, if your self-esteem or your gas tank's half full, yeah, what's it, $20, $40, $50 to fill it up? But what if it's empty? I can tell you right now, my self-esteem tank from my dyslexia side stuff has never, ever been filled up again.
Even after winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, doesn't even fill it up.
Wow. So what steps are you taking to try and build that back up?
You know, every day, you know, trying to get out there with working, you know, reading. You know, it's diving into it, doing things like this. Like, you know, thank you to you for allowing me to be here to talk about it. Because
this
helps me out knowing that I'm not the only one, and I know I'm not the only one, but there's parents are out there that have kids that are listening right now that are struggling because they don't know what to do, how to do it. You know, send me an email, I'll get a hold of you. I talked to a father 2 days ago. I'll get on the phone with you. I've had conversations with coaches, parents, because I know if I'm talking about it, you know, maybe I can help their kid. Because the one father that said, you know, he's struggling, he's 13, he is doing the Wilson Reading Program. I'm like, you're on the right path. You're doing the right things. Keep doing, you know, this, and this. He goes, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for the reassurance. Thank you for the guidance, because my gut wrenches every single day for this kid. But the biggest thing, it's hereditary. So it is not going away. You know, we're all looking for a cure for cancer. We're making billions of dollars. This is not going away. If, you know, I pass it on to my daughter, guess what? She's probably going to pass it down when she has kids, and it's just going to go on and on. And if we don't talk about it, it's only going to continue getting swept under the rug. And, you know, that drug problem, alcohol, everything that's going on. Guess what? I was there. I spent time in rehab. Lawrence, you and I did a lot of work together, and you are absolutely amazing to be with. But I'd walk away from the show and I'd be, what do I do? Guess what? I'd start drinking. Why? Because then I wouldn't have to worry about this empty tank of self-esteem that I don't have.
Brent Sopel Foundation. .org is where you can find out more. You can donate. You can get in touch with Brent if you have questions or you want to try and help out someone who might be struggling with this and trying to figure it out. Man, I wish we had more time. I'm actually like running out of show, but I'll just tell you that those nights when I would leave and I'd go home, I had so much fun like doing television with you, like doing hockey. You always had something. Are you going to grow the mustache out?
Well, I would love to, but like I said, the love of my life she's got a big hand stop sign in my face right now.
Okay.
But, well, you know, we'll see. We'll have a little talk about that.
All right. She put the veto up on you and said that. Also, I'm shocked that you said Starbucks instead of Tim Hortons. You're becoming more Americanized every single day.
Yeah, you know what? I've been here 10 years now in Chicago. This is home.
It is.
You know,
home.
People always ask me, you know, where do you live? And this is home. You know what? My kids are still here, are still going to school, but this is home to me now. Dog country is still part of my heart.
Of course.
But, you know, this is home now.
Soaps, thanks for this.
No, thank you, Lawrence. This is, it means the world for me to take in this time.
Anytime. Anytime you want to come on and talk about this stuff. You know that I'm more than willing. I just love seeing you. So anytime you want to come and hang out in the studio, you're more than welcome to do so. BrentSopelFoundation.org. If you want to do that, or if you want to follow Brent on Twitter, Brent_Sopel, that's where you can find him and you can donate, be part of the solution, and help out a good man. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern football. Coach Fitz and the Cats host number 19 Wisconsin this Saturday at Ryan Field. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at NU Sports.com. For Brent, I'm Lawrence. Thanks for listening tonight. Herb Lawrence is the EP. Mike Chen was in charge of sound. We got Bulls basketball coming up next against the Charlotte Hornets. I don't think I'm on tomorrow.
What? No, no. A day off? No way.
They're giving me a day off.
Oh. You won the lottery then, you're telling me.
I must have won the lottery. It's all good. Have a great night and try to take some of Brent's message home with you. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.